It's a few minutes after 8 o'clock. Sorry, check that. 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. Where for the next hour or so, the opinions and views that are expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Welcome back. Happy New Year. It's time now for KUCI's Talking Animals.
Slow your Mustang down.
That's music from Wilson Pickett with a classic song called Mustang Sally as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live as always on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home, I hasten to point out, of the Anteaters. Now, the first show of 2005, it's the first show I've done in 3 weeks, and boy, am I excited. It's great, great, great to be back. Soggy and otherwise forted, disturbed, etc., as I might be, but that's another story for another time, not probably on the air. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Well, our program is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love, love, love to get calls here. Talking Animals. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name, not surprising perhaps, Talking Animals. Other less immediate ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and contacting us via, who doesn't enjoy saying via, our website, talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, that's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp, not only for another rip-snorting edition of the Serena Sharp Show, but also for sitting in for us these last 2 weeks with the extended versions of her cool program. Thanks again, Serena. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, once again, talkinganimals.net. We're nearly, I'm not even sure nearly at the moment, I think I'm going to say every single show we've ever broadcast is archived. I like them apples. Darn good. I want to thank again our webmaster extraordinaire and now a Southern California resident, Orange County resident, to boot, John Taylor, for that. So, as you can see by scooting around the site and seeing all the archives and checking out the synopses and the whole shebang, the heart of the program really is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Lori Golden, founder, editor, and publisher of The Pet Press, a terrific Southern California-based monthly publication that covers all manner of pet-related topics, from animal rescue and adoption to animal-oriented celebrity profiles and on and on. So we'll hear all about The Pet Press, which recently celebrated its 5th anniversary, when Lori Golden joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, Not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you care to discuss, maybe an announcement or some sort of a fundraiser, benefit you're involved with that's animal-related, any observations of the animal scene, any animal news stories you might have spotted that we might not be aware of, all of that and more. You'd be most welcome. The phone number again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, occasionally international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. It could happen. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, having said that, wait for it. Here we go. Yes, let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Let's jump in. This came from, I think, last week or so. Particular story from the LA Times. Headlined, cattle video steers kosher meat debate. Starts off, the beef is produced according to ancient Jewish law. A trained rabbi makes a swift cut across each animal's neck with a long, sharp knife. The blood drains quickly from the meat. Orthodox rabbis supervise the process and certify the beef as kosher. But when an animal rights activist went undercover at one of the nation's top kosher slaughterhouses, he found practices that had raised deep concerns among some observant Jews. The activist from the group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA of course, was assigned to the sausage line at Agro Processors Incorporated in Postville, Iowa. Whenever he could, however, he slipped over to the kill floor with a hidden camera. There he filmed cattle struggling to stand minutes after they should have been dead. Some even staggered about after their throats had been slit and their windpipes ripped out. The Orthodox Union, the largest kosher certification authority in the world, has declared that the procedures at agroprocessors, quote, meet all our standards to the highest degree. Meat from the plant, sold in the brand names Aaron's Best and Rubashkin, is certified not only as kosher, but as glatt kosher, which means it's deemed the highest quality. The kosher law is more than a procedural checklist. It's based on the ancient Jewish principle, the need to minimize pain to all living beings. And that's where the videos cause unease. Goes on from there. Probably you may have seen or heard about the story elsewhere. Your thoughts on that? Sort of a slightly new wrinkle on the frequent method by PETA and others to videotape practices that need attention and wouldn't otherwise get it. But your thoughts on this? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. Hey, UCI. Well, of course, the news and especially the death toll on the tsunami gets ever more horrific each day, each hour, practically. But found this interesting and not completely depressing within the overall coverage. Headline, animals appear to have escaped wave in Sri Lanka. This is from the Associated Press a few days ago as well. From Yala National Park, Sri Lanka, wildlife officials in Sri Lanka expressed surprise Wednesday that they found no evidence of large-scale animal deaths from the weekend's massive tsunami. An Associated Press photographer who flew over Sri Lanka's Yala National Park in a helicopter saw abundant wildlife, including elephants and deer, and not a single animal carcass. Floodwaters from the tsunami swept into the park, uprooting trees and flipping cars onto their roofs. One car even ended up on top of a huge tree. The animals apparently were not harmed and may have sought out higher ground, said a spokesman whose jet-wing Eco Holidays ran a hotel in the park. This is very interesting, the quote says. I am finding bodies of humans, but I have yet to see a dead animal. He speculated that the animals might have known something, somehow, that the water was coming. Yala is also home to crocodiles, wild boars, and leopards. Here's one of those announcements of upcoming events that wanted to tell you about. This Sunday, January 9th, Citizens for Humane Los Angeles will sponsor a mayoral convention, the first political convention for animal advocates. Attending so far, Antonio Villagrosa, Bob Hertzberg, Richard Alarcon, Walter Moore. And still waiting to hear from others, but this is Citizens for Humane Los Angeles, acronym CHULA, will sponsor the first political convention for animal advocates ever held in the United States on Sunday, January 9th, 2005, 10 a.m. at Beverly Garland's Holiday Inn on Vineland Avenue in North Hollywood. CHULA is a coalition of rescuers and others who advocate for the welfare, rights, and protection of animals. Mayoral convention will take place in anticipation of the March 8th primary election when Los Angeles voters will choose their next mayor. Quote, the time is long overdue to recognize the power of the humane vote, said Rich McClone, MD, director of the Animal Legislative Action Network, a political action committee which supports animal-friendly candidates and legislation. Thousands, perhaps millions of people in Los Angeles, he continues, care deeply about the welfare of animals. We realize that the only way to make enduring changes to end their suffering is through the political process. You can find out more about the convention and how you might want to attend and find out more once you're there, and all those things, by checking out the website AlanPack, AlanPack.com. All right, time for our mid-news animal quiz. Believe you know how this works. But let's quickly review, just in case you don't. It's a true-false question. I will ask that question. If you know the answer and you are the first to call in with the correct answer, you win a prize. And you win not only that, a choice of prizes, which range from cool little EP by the Finn Brothers to the DVD by Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, whose CD was recently nominated for a Grammy, Best Comedy CD. How do you like them at? We've got t-shirts of various kinds. We've got a Talking Animal sweatshirt. We've got books ranging from Meatless Meals for Working People to the Shirley MacLaine book, whose title escapes me right now, but part of the reason that's a prize is because it was co-written by her dog. We've got leashes. We've got cat toys. We've got collars. We've got little cool necklaces, handcrafted necklaces with charms of like various animals. T-shirts from all kinds of animal organizations, including one that we bought when we were last up at the Paws in San Andreas, the R2000. T-shirt says, elephants don't belong in circuses, and a cool drawing of an elephant. And, by the way, one of my cool, among my many cool Christmas presents is kind of a fundraising thing that the R2000/Paws is doing, where you can spend a day with the elephants there at the sanctuary, the 2,300-acre sanctuary. So, you feed them, you clean them, you work with them, you do stuff. But basically, you're in close proximity. And for someone who's bonkers about elephants, that's sounded pretty cool to me. So we'll keep you posted. That's not going to be for a few months, but... All right, so that's the story, that's the prizes, that's some of the prizes, which we'll also play in later to figure in, as I should say, to when we do Name That Animal Tune. We'll have the choice of those very same prizes when we do that that little quiz at the end of the show. All right, so here's this one, though. True, false. The oldest elephant, speaking of elephants, on record, lived to be 77 years old. If you know the answer, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Even if you don't know the answer, you can call in. You got a 50-50 shot guessing. That's the beauty of this game, huh? All right. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. The oldest elephants on record lived to be 77 years old. And for those who already may harbor some negative feelings about Walmart, this may not help, as the news, animal news continues. Headline, two Walmart employees charged in cat killing. This, too, is from the Associated Press from a few days ago. Dateline Evansville, Indiana. Two Walmart employees have been charged with felony animal cruelty after authorities said they followed a manager's orders to shoot and kill a stray cat. The men, both assistant managers at the store, told police the manager had ordered them to get rid of the animal, which was living in a storage trailer behind their store. Christopher Anderson, 29, and Jeffrey Harden, 21, repeatedly shot the cat with a pellet gun from the store until it died, the sheriff's report said. Walmart conducted an investigation and said it had fired three employees over the incident. The company did not name the employees. Quote, "We were sickened by this cruelty." Kevin D. Miller, regional vice president for the Arkansas-based retailer, said Thursday. The company said it planned to donate $10,000 to be shared by the Vandenberg County and Warwick County Humane Societies in Indiana. Anderson and Hardin, meanwhile, were arrested and released after a court appearance Wednesday. Neat, huh? All right, so I'm going to read just a part of this last one. Then we want to jump into the comedy corner and then hear our interview with Lori Golden. And this deals a little bit with the specific right whale that got tangled up in that fishing line, but is a little broader than that. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. This comes from the Boston Globe. Despite the successful freeing of an entangled right whale on New Year's Eve, evidence is growing that more of the leviathans are being snagged by the thousands of miles of fishing rope off New England and the eastern seaboard. In the mid-1990s, scientists estimated that 64% of the critically endangered North Atlantic right whales had scars from entanglements in fishing lines sometime in their lives. That number now hovers around 72%. Currently, federal scientists believe 13 right whales are swimming with fishing lines embedded in them, causing infection or death. Only 300 of the whales are left, so any death could be a devastating blow to the species. Quote, "Entanglements seem to be increasing," said Bob Bowman, member of the disentanglement team of the Center for Coastal Studies in Provincetown. "People say freeing a whale must make me feel great, but it makes me incredibly depressed. It means it is only the tip of the iceberg." Center researchers, along with federal fishery scientists, helped in a dramatic effort to free Yellowfin, a 34-foot, 2-year-old right whale, on New Year's Eve, 30 miles off South Carolina. The whale was first spotted December 5th off Virginia with lobster gear wrapped around its head, enclosing one of its 6-inch blowholes to the size of a quarter. Scientists spent much of Friday morning attempting to slow the whale to unwrap the lobster lines from its head to get the frantic animal to slow down enough for those involved to cut the rope. They attached buoys, 2 underwater parachutes, and finally a line followed by a 22-foot boat. Just as scientists prepared to get close to the animal's head to cut the gear, the rope broke, apparently from the tension caused by the weight it was dragging. Freed from the entangling lines, Yellowfin disappeared below the surface, leaving ecstatic researchers behind holding 550 feet of lobster rope. A later aerial survey of Yellowfin, named for the Coast Guard cutter, the tractor, saw no sign of rope around her head. Yay. All right, so there you go. We're going to end on that note. An upbeat one at that. Thank God, with some other stories in there, right? All right. So, of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements, events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items or links to them or whatever at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, animal comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, maybe redundantly, but what the heck, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check it out. It's talkinganimals.net. Again, .net. And please, when you get there, sign up for the email list. It'll keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of every single show we've ever done, as I mentioned earlier. Sorted photographs, articles both that we've written and that the LA Times and others have written about us. And all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around. Again, the site is talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. In this case, comedy from a talking animal. I alluded to him earlier. This is Triumph, the insult comic dog, with a piece called Call from Triumph's Son on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
Hello? Yes. Son, yes. How are you, Spike? I'm sorry. Luther. Yes, I knew that. Oh, your mom died. Yes. Oh, that's very sad. Yes. I'm sorry. You know, just refresh me. Which one was your mom? She was a Pomeranian. Okay. Which one? She was brown and white. I'm sorry. More specific. A white spot on the left eye. Sorry, more specific. She had 3 legs. Okay. More specific, please. She could pee standing up. didn't squat. Oh, yes, yes, I remember her, yes. She died. Oh, that's a loss for all of us, yes. That's sad, yes. How old was she? That's right, yes, she was experienced. There's going to be a burial, good. So she's not going to be stuffed one last time, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, you're the wrong person for that joke, okay. Well, anyway, I'm not going to be able to make it. I have a show that night. Oh, no, I know you haven't told me the date. I just assumed you're burying her right away, yes? She's Jewish? Sorry. So, she's in a better place, yes, and... Look, I really have to go. Stay in school and don't eat chocolate. What is it? You've written a script? You want me to look at it? Sure. Oh, I'm losing you. No, I'd be happy to. I'm going into a tunnel.
All right. That was Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, with a piece called Call from Triumph's Son, taken from his album Come Poop With Me, again, recently nominated for Grammy, his best comedy album. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, in fact, no doubt are listening that very way as we speak, or as I speak at least. Hopefully you'll speak too. And some of you, perhaps, arrive through our small website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Lori Golden, founder, editor, and publisher of The Pet Prep, a terrific Southern California-based monthly publication that covers all manner of pet-related topics, from animal rescue and adoption to animal-oriented celebrity profiles. The Pet Press recently celebrated its 5th anniversary, a real testament to Lori's pluck and passion, and sort of does it all, basically. So in an interview recorded actually in December, let's hear her story and that of the Pet Press. This is Lori Golden on Talking Animals here on KUCI. All right, let's welcome to Talking Animals, Lori Golden from the Pet Press. Hi, hi, Lori.
Hello, Duncan.
Thanks so much for making the time to visit with us today on Talking Animals, and we're having this conversation, you know, pretty much on the heels of the Pet Press's 5th anniversary, which itself is a huge accomplishment. I mean, if you look at the endless list of publications, you know, local, regional, national, that have come and gone during that 5 years, including several that you know, were launched with big corporate support. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive by itself. How do you explain that? Is that the triumph of a, you know, a specific vision and just sort of boundless passion, or how?
I think that's pretty much says it.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I realized a long time ago that what does in every publication that's tried to do this kind of thing
mm-hmm.
is distribution.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, you can try to be all things to all people and try to be everywhere, and it's the whole thing is a catch-22.
Sure.
If you know, you need the distribution and the papers out there to be able to let the advertisers know. But then you can't get the advertising unless you have the distribution, and you can't get paid for the papers unless you have the advertising.
Round and round you go, like you say, yeah.
So I have been all along, I mean, I live in the Valley, so it was very natural for me to start right in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some experience prior to this with a publication at the end of the 80s called Animal Press.
Right.
Out of San Diego that I brought to L.A.
Sure.
So I had, you know, the contacts that I had made from that. But I just started in my own neighborhood in the Valley,
mm-hmm.
and because of my other experience, I myself personally went to neighborhoods on the other side of the hill from me,
mm-hmm.
you know, in West L.A., whatever, and, you know, little dribbles of, you know, will you let my paper be here, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And then I got, I went to pet sitters and asked them, you know, if they would be interested in, you know, having an ad for their service in exchange for introducing my paper in their neighborhoods where they, you know, work.
Sure.
And that's how I got started. And I was just happy being in the, you know, in the basic L.A. area, meaning, you know, the valley and the other side of the hill.
Sure, sure.
And I had somebody who was a wonderful girl who was so enthusiastic about my paper named Jackie Rengstorf a few years ago. She was living down in San Pedro, and she twisted my arm and got my put my papers all over the South Bay. And it was like, I don't even want to be down there.
Wow.
But as a result, though, I mean, it's all built up, and my papers are down in all those beach communities, and now they're all the way down to Long Beach.
Sure.
And I've been very, and I get calls all the time from people who've wanted my papers everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Orange County, that's where you are, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I have no interest in going down there. I mean, I do, but I'm just one person.
Right, right. Well, we'll get into that kind of the sort of solo thing. But I mean, what you're also making reference to again is just that the, you know, may speak to sort of the power of our animal friends and those who sort of care most deeply about them. Because the woman you just referred to, who said, "Hey, I'm just going to take these down to the South Bay," and someone else saying, "Hey," and you're, you know, this is like, you know, beyond even what you were necessarily equipped or even desiring to do. But again, I think that's back to the sort of passion that people who feel strongly about animals often bring to, you know, certainly to related tasks.
That's very true. And now my papers are also being introduced and brought out all the way out to Thousand Oaks and now into Simi Valley.
Wow.
And into Valencia. And these are all places that, you know, I always wanted to be there, but I was, you know, nope, not ready, not
sure.
Ready, not ready, not
yeah.
Ready. And I just got off the phone with somebody who, you know, was curious about my advertising rates, and she has a new pet sitting business targeting Echo Park and downtown.
Mm.
Well, I've never had any desire to be in downtown L.A., but I have a full page ad from a new place, a new doggy daycare center called Bark Avenue.
Okay.
And I haven't been there yet, but they've been advertising with me now for about the last 5 months, even before they opened. And it's a very smart developer out of Chicago who assessed the situation and went downtown. And there's like a whole revitalization going on, apparently, downtown with all the lofts.
Right, absolutely. Yeah,
and
the whole scene. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this pet sitter has noticed, and that's what she's, you know, that's what I was just talking to her about, and I just said, "Hey, I've got an idea for you. You know, I think I'm ready now to say, okay, let's get these papers out downtown."
Sure. Well, that's so funny because, I mean, you know, you're verging on the woman who cried wolf with this "I'm not ready to go there" thing, and then every time someone just takes it upon themselves to take your papers somewhere else, it of course works beautifully. Sounds like so sounds like people thankfully are sort of pushing you into broadening out areas even before you otherwise think that you're ready to do so.
Right, exactly. But it, you know, after 5 years, I feel pretty confident now that
yeah.
I can at least afford to pay for, you know, the extra papers that
sure.
It takes to,
right. Absolutely.
To hit a new area.
Yeah.
And also, in this case, thanks to Bark Avenue, I think they'll be very happy.
Yeah.
You know, if they, and I'm sure they would probably even help, you know, if, because right now I'm forced with having to mail them their papers.
Oh, I see.
You know, I don't
yeah.
have any way to get them down there. I don't have a distributor down there.
Right, right.
So this, you know, but as I said, I, you know, it's very hard to say no.
Yeah.
No,
well,
no. But that's what it has done in, I think, you know, every other publication.
They've gone too fast, or they haven't been ready for that kind of expansion.
Yeah, or
yeah.
They just weren't smart enough about
sure.
it.
Right, right.
So.
Well, so Lori, I guess in a way we've kind of started the story at not necessarily at the end, but certainly in the current chapter of the saga. But I'd like to go back, if we could, to you know, a little bit, not only the earlier part of the Pet Press, which you alluded to briefly, but first even to create a little bit of a backdrop or context. I think it might be useful if you'd take us through some key parts of the Lori Golden story. For example, you know, where did you grow up, and to what extent were animals an important part of your formative years?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I get asked that so many times that in my fifth anniversary issue, which I'm guessing you got and read.
I did, indeed, but I'm doing this also, of course, for the benefit of those who you know, are listening in all kinds of places, including online, where they wouldn't necessarily have access. Yeah.
Right, and I get asked that question so often. So
sure.
That was when I finally decided, oh, screw it, I'll just be self-indulgent and tell my story in that issue, which I did, you know, starting from growing up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was never an animal person, really, but
mm-hmm.
Not at all. I mean, it wasn't until, and I came out to L.A. in 1973 after graduating from Syracuse University, and I majored in television and radio.
Right.
And I came out here to work in TV, and I did that for over 20 years. Working like, you know, writing and producing and
game shows and related things. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was doing freelance work and found myself free more often than working.
Right, right.
It was like, hello, unemployment.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it was around 1986 when I was finally decided to get a dog.
Mm.
And that was when I went to the East Valley Shelter eventually. And I got my dog, Max, and she changed my life.
Right. We should point out quickly that Max is a female, and more to the point, perhaps Max has two exes.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Max was really a pivotal character then in the Laurie Golden story, it sounds like.
That's very, very true. And she was the greatest dog. Of course, everybody says that about their animals.
Sure.
But
it just happens to be more true about Max, probably, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, but... as a result of having Max, you know, I mean, I walked more. I met wonderful people, and everybody had, you know, had animals that were rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and I felt in my heart such an accomplishment by saving her life, you know, because she came from the East Valley Shelter.
Sure.
And I just couldn't believe how many wonderful dogs, you know, just are in those shelters waiting to be adopted and rescued.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes me literally want to throw up is when I walk into a pet store.
Yeah.
In a mall.
Yeah.
Or anywhere, or when somebody tells me, oh, I bought my dog. I mean, it just makes me want to scream. Because it's just not necessary. And when people say, well, I want a purebred dog because of the papers. And it's like, why, you know? Unless you plan to show your dog, those papers aren't worth anything except to put them underneath the dog.
Yeah.
And Dateline NBC a few years ago really proved that with the American Kennel Club. They did a great show about that. So that was, you know, I always wanted to bring that to the attention of the public, that you don't have to, you know, you can get, like, the most wonderful, loving animal, you know, just by going to a shelter and rescuing it. And so when I had Max and I was in between, you know, I'd been laid off so many times. I had so many shows that were canceled on me.
Yeah.
At one point, that's when I got involved with Animal Press. That was out of San Diego back around 1987 or 89 or something like that. I brought that paper to L.A., you know, tried to...
And is that, quickly, what kind of, was that a publication that would be comparable to the Pet Press, or what was Animal
Press?
Yeah,
I stole a lot of things from that.
All right, well, that's no shame there. That's good. That's a showbiz tradition and a publishing tradition, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but they also haven't been, I mean, they don't exist anymore.
Right, right.
So
well, somebody
I
had to kind of, run with the ideas, for
right,
sure.
And
yeah.
They also, that publication also dealt with wildlife and birds and, you know, mammal, dolphins and whales.
So
you know,
it was
everything.
Much broader. It wasn't really pet-focused then, it sounds
right,
like.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I just decided that for me it would be better off, you know, I mean, people like dogs and cats. That's what they relate to more than anything else.
Sure.
And, I mean, Americans this year, you know, are spending something like $34 billion on pet care. you know, from vet bills to toys. I got that from CNN's show, In the Money.
Wow. All right.
And, you know, and it's just quite astonishing. For the first time in my life, I think my timing was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like it was dead on, really. Yeah. So then from kind of hauling the animal press, or at least ideas from the animal press, and sort of adapting them to kind of more specific aim, is that kind of what then was sort of the birth of...
Yeah, when I finally... Well, I went bankrupt and... because I couldn't get jobs anymore.
Sure, yeah.
It's a very difficult business.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult business. I was so qualified to work on shows that were like on Animal Planet. And they would look at my resume and then, not hire me, I think because they had no money, no budgets, and they thought I was so overqualified.
Right.
That they couldn't afford me.
Yeah.
So I ended up going bankrupt and got a computer, learned how to do like a little newsletter, and I went to my friend Phil Carter, who owns a feed store in Tarzana,
okay,
called the Red Barn, and I showed him my holiday newsletter, and he said, "Oh, maybe you could be the one to do a newsletter for us every couple of months." And so I started doing the Red Barn Review.
Okay.
And this was started out as 4 pages, just about the Red Barn, and then I said to him, "Hey, how about I try to get some local advertising from some, non-competing businesses."
Sure.
Right in your neighborhood. And, and then I can put this maybe other places also.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. He said, but, he was paying me like $200 or something.
Yeah, okay.
To do his, that's all the money I had, okay?
Sure, sure.
And he said, okay, but he said you can keep any money you get for the advertising, but if it has to be more than 4 pages, you pay for it for the printing.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Fair enough, exactly. Yeah. And I could have made a lot more money had I chosen a different route for the printing, but
yeah.
You know,
that's another story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so that's how that was the genesis of the Pet Press. It first started as the Red Barn Review.
I see.
And when I expanded it with advertising, as I said in my 5th anniversary issue, Dick Van Patten was my first cover story.
And so that brings me to something I really did want to talk with you about, Lori, is so it sounds like really from the get-go, the idea of kind of a celebrity cover story, a prominent feature, whatever, has kind of really been one of the signature elements. Is that
well, correct? And that's something that I stole from Animal Press also.
I see. All right. Well, you're very kind and generous with those credits. That's good.
Well, I stole that, and, it's not stealing. I mean, look at all the, People magazine.
Who doesn't
whatever.
Do it? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly. Also, I have the rescue list, the animal help list,
right,
of agencies.
Sure,
I stole that from Animal Press.
Sure,
and then the calendar of events. But every publication, publication.
Yeah, but those are fairly generic elements to depending on what the focus of the publication is.
Right,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But those are key elements. The ongoing pet adoptions.
Yeah,
I think that's all mine.
Sure.
And when I first started, I probably had about 5 groups listed in that animal help list, and now I keep it pretty, it's all on one page, but the ongoing adoptions, that's gone into 3 pages now.
Yeah.
Of the smallest type font, there's no rhyme or reason, how it is set up. It's just like wherever there's room and I can make space.
Yeah.
But what I did is all of that stuff I do for free. I don't charge people to be in that animal help list.
Those
are ongoing adoption list.
Yeah.
Or the calendar of events. Or in my announcement section where I have, groups say that they need volunteers or they
sure.
need foster homes or something, like that. Or, they need help with... people
some event or some, yeah.
Or people to trap for feral cats.
Sure.
I do all of that stuff for free, and I think that has become the real signature of the Pet Press.
Yeah, yeah. And really, especially the adoption part, really, I guess, again, trace back to, sort of those early days with Max and sort of being out and about and thinking about animals that needed to be rescued and adopted as a
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole reason why I created the Pet Breast was my mission was threefold: to promote spaying and neutering, to promote responsible pet care, and most important, to promote the rescue and adoption of animals from our overcrowded shelters.
Wow, and you've really hit those goals and then some. Just to touch a little bit more on the celebrity, sort of cover profile, because again, I think that's as you said, there's a handful now of sort of signature elements to the Pet Press, but obviously that's kind of a attention grabbing by virtue, of course, that it's on the cover and it is celebrity. I mean, how do you determine at this point the celebrity for the cover story? I mean, at this point, it seems like they've ranged from John F. Kennedy Jr. to Richard Pryor to animals like Eddie from Frasier was a cover topic at one point. I mean, do you find that with that sort of track record and the focus of the Pet Press that to what extent do you find that arranging interviews with sort of prominent celebrities has become easier given that?
I don't really think that it's become easier.
No.
Well, and you do the same thing with your show too.
Sometimes, yeah.
But what is nice is that now people do contact me.
Great.
So for instance, I got an email from a publicist, suggesting Shelley Morrison, who I'm hoping will be my next cover story. Who's Shelley Morrison? She plays Rosario on Will and Grace.
Oh, fantastic. Great.
But why Shelley Morrison? Well, I've seen her at a few animal events. That's always a key thing for me.
Sure.
Are they out there supporting animal events? And she also is, I think, the honorary spokesperson for a group called Angels Day, which helps senior citizens care for their pets.
Wow, cool. Well, then that will... Yeah, she sounds like she's perfect for a Pet Press cover piece. Then
right,
cool.
Exactly. But when somebody just contacts me, and I get a lot of this, that so-and-so has a lot of animals. It's
not quite the same thing. Yeah. Right.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I have to say, I am pretty ruthless. I go to, some of these events, and... I walk around and I go up. I'm not shy, and I'll go up and I'll introduce myself to, somebody, to a celebrity, and I'll say, "Hi, I'm Lori from the Pet Press. I don't know if you've ever seen my publication, but I sure would like to interview you as a future cover story." So I have a few people who, are sort of like Peter Falk, okay? And then his wife. It's really his wife. But and I did a story on him for Animal Press, okay, back in 1987. But I didn't interview him. It was all done really through his assistant.
Okay.
And they were like, "Sure, here's our phone number." Pierce Brosnan's wife, Keely Shea Smith. I met her in the bathroom In Defense of Animals Guardian Awards last month.
Sure.
And I showed her my paper, and she's like, "Here's the phone number, give a call." And she's somebody who I hope to feature actually for my April issue, because it'll be for Earth Day.
Oh, perfect. Well, that's enterprising journalism then. If you find her in the bathroom and you can show her your publication, next thing you've got her phone number. There you go.
It takes time, I have a lot of people. I also have a wish list, of my own.
I'm sure.
As I'm sure you do.
Right, of course. Well, I don't know if you want to say anyone who's on your wish list, but what I was going to ask you, actually, as you were talking there, it just occurred to me. I mean, are there, what three or four interviews, because now you've obviously done quite a few over these years. I mean, what three or four maybe have had the most... profound effect on you, either because of the celebrity that you were speaking with, or maybe more to the point, their comments, were maybe particularly poignant about animals, or something that really, just kind of meant a lot to you or touched you in some significant way.
Oh gosh, so many of them, were so wonderful.
Uh huh.
I, you know, somebody who really surprised me was somebody who people probably don't even really know, was this guy Jonathan Slavin, who he was in Andy Richter Controls the Universe.
Right, right.
And somebody had suggested him to me as a possible, you know, cover story, and I found a website that showed a picture of him and his pig, and I sent him an email in this long introduction about myself and the Pet Press. And he emailed me back and said, I love your paper. I would be honored.
Oh, that's so great.
And he was the only person I ever devoted two cover stories to, because he was, he just was so special.
Yeah.
I mean, he just has so many animals, and this is like his life.
Yeah.
Just his animals, and just so caring. Alexandra Paul, who was on Baywatch.
Sure.
I mean, she and Ed Begley Jr., when it comes to environmental issues...
Of course.
They just totally, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk. They are both. So in everything that they do, I'm looking through my, Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull.
Sure.
I mean... Did you interview him?
Yeah, absolutely.
You did? Yeah, that's right. I think I listened to that interview. I mean, he was fascinating.
Yeah.
But with me, he talked about the sex life of cats. I mean, how sexual they are.
Sure. Well, he at least made a passing reference to that. I mean, he wouldn't be Ian Anderson if he didn't do that.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was fabulous.
Yeah, for sure.
And he could have gone on forever and ever, as you probably know.
Yeah.
When I interviewed Hillary Duff right before she hit, right before everything she did came out.
Oh, wow.
At the same time. But I didn't interview her. It was all done via fax.
Ah, okay.
Because she was making her movie about Cinderella at the time.
Okay.
But, boy, I thought that was a real coup.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's timing is everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I'm just looking back. And, of course, you know, Betty White.
Yeah.
Bob Barker. Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, some of the really key, long-standing, you know, figures in the animal world. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. And the thing I should call attention to, which I will, you know, when this airs as well, but the website is thepetpress-la.com, and it's a neat site, and in fact, all the celebrity pieces that we're talking about are not only listed there, but you can actually, I mean, it's really cool and quite generous of you, because, I mean, you can click on those and, you know, read those and see those for free, where, you know, more and more publications obviously now have at least a subscription element, or you have to pay a certain amount or whatever, and it's fantastic, because all those things are lined right up. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I like being able to do that. It takes me a while sometimes to get this, you know, articles up there.
Sure.
But my current cover story, which you haven't seen this yet because it's my last issue of the year, and it's my gift to L.A., all right?
Okay.
Which is, and it's a first for me, instead of featuring an animal or a person, I featured a musical production called Bark.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And I have no vested interest in this production at all, but I have to tell you, I saw it twice, and probably with my mouth open. This show is so wonderful. It's just been extended through January at the Coast Playhouse on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. And for anybody who's a dog lover or just an animal lover, this show is wonderful. The music is just phenomenal. It's a cast of six, and they're not dressed up as, you know, in dog costumes like that.
Right.
But they are dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not real dogs.
Sure, but they're portraying dogs.
They,
right?
Yes, in a doggy daycare setting.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's poignant, it's funny, it's wonderful, and it is so professional that this show is destined for Broadway.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I have yet to see it. I mean, we have a one-year-old, so I barely get out to see a movie, you know, much less all the way up to L.A. to see a play like that. But, I mean, I've heard nothing but raves. You know,
and,
it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and they have a website, which is barkthemusical.com.
Great.
But I'm telling you, it is wonderful, and everybody should go and see this show.
Cool. Well, Lori, we're probably just about nearing the end of our time, but just a couple other quick things. I mean, you know, I noted kind of earlier when we were chatting here that you know, in large measure, the Pat Press is really sort of a solo performance, and you know, and again, it's you know, it's 5 years in and counting, and which again is just a great accomplishment, and going strong, obviously, and expanding. And sort of not coincidentally, you bring what I think at least is a pretty singular work ethic and sort of a somewhat nocturnal work schedule to producing the Pet Press. Maybe you can just take us through a little bit of the process of putting together an issue, especially as your deadline approaches.
My deadlines. Oh, well, you know, people send me articles, okay?
Yeah.
From it's very much a community effort.
Sure.
Nobody gets paid for the articles they write, but they can plug whatever they want at the end of it.
Sure.
But unfortunately, half the time I don't even read the articles until 3 hours before I decide to use it.
Oh, really? Yeah, just because you're scrambling, right?
Yeah. And I also do, you know, I'm always on the internet doing research for, you know, interesting stories.
Sure.
Another thing that I have always avoided, and people are always sending me stuff, you know, links to things about, you know, awful things that happen to animals, animal cruelty, you know, kids that cut off animals, you know, heads, what have you, okay?
Well, yeah.
And after I did my first or second issue, an older lady had called me and had said to me, "I'm so glad that you don't have any gruesome stories in your paper."
Yeah.
And that stuck with me.
Sure.
And it's like, my feeling is that, you know, that's for other publications.
Right.
And that's why, so my Max's Amazing Headlines sections, in my, which is my favorite part to do.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the funny stories, the amazing stories.
Sure.
And,
and uplifting, more to the point.
Yeah, often. I basically steal them from the internet. So.
All right. Well.
But basically, I stay up for like 2 or 3 nights putting the entire publication together. It always has, you know, the same look, pretty much from month to month.
Sure.
Because I tend to keep, you know, things just in the same place to make it a little easier on.
Right, right. Just so people know where to find, you know, Max's stuff and adoption info and obviously the celebrity piece. You know, there's a certain structure to it that I think is helpful and familiar to people. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I actually applied myself, I could just pay. There's no end to how big this publication could be. But, you know, I never, you know, people are always saying to me, "Well, when are you going to go glossy and color?" And I always say, ain't going to do it, not going to happen. It works the way it is.
Right.
And I'd rather put the money into printing more papers. The only thing I might consider doing at some point is going to a better grade of paper so the ink doesn't necessarily come off on your hands.
Well, yeah, I could see that. But again, you know, as we've heard now a few different times along the way, I mean, you've been so, you know, wise by not being in too big of a hurry to expand areas or to expand the publication or to kick up, you know, things that kill publications of all different kinds, again, including those that have corporate funding and support, and the next thing you know, they've been too big for their britches and they're done. They folded, you know. So
yeah.
Good for you. I think it's obviously it's working and it's great. And Lori, we're probably really now just at the end of our time. But let me just ask you one last kind of final thing. What at this point, what's the most rewarding or fulfilling part of publishing the Pet Press?
I think when I bring my papers, you know, I distribute them myself as well, and I might bring them into a vet office to drop off, and somebody says, "Are you Lori?" And I'll say, "Yes." And they'll go, "Oh, my God, let me show you something." And they'll open up their wallet and show me pictures of, you know, 2 little kittens.
Oh, and
wow. And they say, "I got these kittens because of your paper."
Oh, nice.
"Thank you so much." I mean, and there's nothing better than that. It's when I went to see Bark the second time. I was with about 5 friends, and there were a bunch of people there that I knew as well. And they were saying, "Oh, this is Lori from the Pet Press." And I had all these people coming up to me saying, "You're Lori? I love your publication. Thank you so much for what you do."
Oh, that must be, yeah, so gratifying and just really kind of make you feel like, wow, all those late nights and crazy, stress-filled days are totally worth it and then some.
That's right. It really is. So I, you know, it's very, very gratifying. And, you know, especially this time of year, I, you know, I hope that people, you know, will think about if they want to have an get an animal, you know, do it smartly, make it a family decision.
Sure.
Go to an animal shelter or go to a rescue group.
Right.
And, you know, just don't go to a pet store.
We do not buy animals. We
Please
do not buy them.
Buy.
Yes.
Please. And well, spay and neuter your pets.
All right, cool. Well, I think you got it all in, Lori. Thank you so much. Again, it's Lori Golden. It's the Pet Press. The website is thepetpress-la.com. Lori, thanks again. Keep up your great work, and thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Duncan.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Lori?
Yeah?
Okay, well, we're running desperately late, so we're jumping right into Name That Animal Tune. I think you know how it works. It's Name That Tune, except it's animal-related. And we're giving you the title and the answer in the same breath, practically. And you know you get those choice of those prizes we talked about earlier if you can call in and correctly identify. Well, a bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. KUCI.
Is it the bear went over the mountain?
Well, yeah, geez. Who's buried in Grant's tomb, by the way? All right, now who's this?
Doris from Anaheim.
All right, well, email us because we're way over time. We're into Jeff's time already, so we'll figure something out by email. Thanks for calling.
Great interview, thanks.
Thanks. All right. Well, I'm sorry right now to I'm already apologizing to Jeff. That was on a recorded interview, and for some reason it only did it in segments, and so I couldn't, I guess, tell the exact length. So anyways, we're going to blast through. I'm Duncan Strauss. It's Talking Animals. Thanks for listening. I want to remind you one more time that the opinions and views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, the University of California Board of Regents. Thank our guest, Lori Golden. It's the Pet Press. The website is petpress.com. And I think that's about all we're going to really even try to get in on that topic. And I want to also let you remind you that on the music side of the schedule, that tonight might be the last show, at least at that time slot. We do a show called The Dead Air Zone. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. Check it out. I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events. And suggest comedy topics, songs, etc. Email us talkinganimals@AOL.com. We look forward to hearing from you. So please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. This is a great, great blues show starting very late, thanks to me. Coming up momentarily here on KUCI, this has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. As always, we're closing things out here with an animal-related tune. This has been Oysterhead with Mr. Oysterhead on KUCI. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.